Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys LLC is strictly prohibited.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage Services, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management or Blackridge Asset Management. Financial Guys, Independent Solutions, and Blackridge Asset Management are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, Inc.
Look, I'm not a farmer or not a florist.
Me neither. I don't know why.
But I was never good at that. Yeah. But anyway, but you know what I mean, right? All right, good morning, everybody. Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lomas, of course, for the Financial Guys. You'd know that if you got the notification you're watching right now or you actively downloaded it because you downloaded the Financial Guys to begin with. So you'd know that. But I'm Glenn Wiggle. That's Mike Lomas. And we are live on streaming on Facebook and YouTube, I believe. I think we're out of YouTube jail finally, which is good. This is the podcast. So the place where money meets politics, but with no holds barred. So we got a lot to talk about today. We're going to probably roll about 45 minutes. We started a little bit late this morning, so we all have meetings that typically start 9:30 or 10 o'clock. We do manage money for a living. Market's pretty volatile. So we got when markets get volatile, that's when we kick into gear and really help our clients, you know, navigate through some choppy markets. So we are very busy Monday through Friday, and but still want to make time to do some podcasts like this. So anyway, welcome. I don't know where you wanted to start, Mike. Shelley Silver died, I guess, this week.
Who cares?
Yeah, sad, but another corrupt New York politician. You know, somebody told me he was 75. I thought he was older than that.
People are going to say, oh, how mean. You know what? Now's the time where you go, well, let me talk about some of the good stuff. Now, he's a dirtbag. Yeah. He's going to need to spend a little bit of time, I think, apologizing for his actions before God lets him through the gates. That's all I'll say. I'll end it there.
Well, he and a lot of others, unfortunately, that, just corrupt. I mean, absolute. Well, of course, New York politicians. I mean, just corrupt to the core. So Shelley Silver, famously ran the New York State Assembly forever, right, as the assembly leader.
Bribing people, taking bribes.
Yeah, just unreal. You know, double dipping. Pushing stuff to his law firm that was giving him kickbacks and typical Democrat political money laundering, I guess you could call it, right?
That's pretty much what it is, right? Not really much different than anybody else has done in the Democrat side of politics. And, you know, of course, nobody can figure out why they've got millions of dollars in net worth their income's 100 grand a year.
It's amazing how that works. Yeah. You made 150. Yeah. Actually, as a New York State politician, you made about $100,000 a year, $112,000 or whatever it was, $115,000. Mm-hmm. Let's say $100,000 on average. And you end up worth
living in New York
millions
City.
Of dollars. It's incredible.
Living in New York
Amazing.
City. Living in New York City, where a 300-square-foot apartment is 20 grand a month, right?
Yeah.
Somehow you amassed millions.
Amazing how that works. Yeah. Normally people make 100 grand in New York City. They're eating cat food, right? They're basically all the money goes to the rent and their parking space if they're allowed to even have one, right? And the rest is is gone. So anyway.
Yeah. So the big story last night is New York Supreme Court strikes down Governor Hochul's mask mandate. Mm-hmm. Now the left wing liberal nut jobs are. This is great. Poland Carr says, well, that doesn't apply to us.
No, the Supreme Court never does. No. Supreme Courts apply to liberals, right? Even at the Biden level, the Supreme Court knocked down the mandates at a federal level to employers.
No.
And Biden's out there going, yeah, we still think they should do it anyways.
Taxpayers don't matter. Yeah. We just voted to knock down redistricting in New York. Right. It was on the ballot. Right. We voted no. They're doing it anyways, right? New York State Supreme Court last night strikes down the mask mandate. Yep. What are they doing? They're doing it anyways.
Right. Doesn't matter.
They're doing it anyways.
It doesn't apply to us because the Department of Education in New York said it doesn't. That was Poland Carr's answer. What a joke. He's a joke.
Well, I'll tell you what. The area is full of spineless people.
The whole country is full of spineless people. Uh-oh.
It's really sad to think that, you know, there's a very, very small group of parents that are willing to fight.
But that's what's everything. My mind. Think about the revolution. Yeah, how many people fought for the revolution? Was it 5% of the country fought for our independence?
Three.
I mean, as Brian Breisinger famously said, I always use his as his saying as an example because, honest to God, it was instrumental in the way that I look at things now. Brian Breisinger is a partner of ours out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He owns a couple different companies with us that we have. And Brian is a great business owner in his own right, runs a huge Medicare general agency. And he said there's three – when I first met Brian, one of the things he said to me is stuck with me. And I made him in the poster. He said, guys, there's only three kinds of people in life, and only three. There are the people that make it happen. There are the people that make excuses why it can't happen. And then there are those that wonder what the hell just happened. And yep. You know, the bulk of the people are at the bottom. And so I actually made it into a visual. I made it into a pyramid. And I made it into a pyramid because at the very top is you have the people that make it happen. It's the 1-3% of the population that are running businesses, employing people, you know, producing goods and services, right? Being productive members of society. Maybe you're just going to do your job, and you do your job great, and you add that great work to your company, and you help to, you know, that helps other people, and all, you know, it's all good, right? But that's a small group of people really at the top that are making it happen. There's a bigger group that make excuses why it doesn't happen. I can't get ahead because fill in the blank here. I'm a woman. I'm African-American. I'm, you know, whatever. It doesn't, you fill in the blank, right? Excuses. We all know these people, right? The people that make excuses. Well, I can't put my kid in a school without a mask because what if they're wrong on the ruling? I can't, you know, da-da-da-da because. Totally, you know, again, excuses. Now, lots of people, you know, are concerned about putting their kids, you know, unfortunately, in the crosshairs. I get that, right? Nobody wants to.
That's a tough part.
It's a shitty situation, however you slice it, right? But then there's the big group at the bottom of the pyramid, and those are the people that wondered what the hell just happened. And those are the people that aren't even aware that there's a lawsuit that went on to fight mask mandates. They're not even aware that there's a Supreme Court decision, a New York State Supreme Court that came down yesterday. They're not even aware that in places like Florida, they're living normally. These are people that, you know who's on Dancing with the Stars. You know, they're pretty sure who the next contestant on American Idol is going to be. But they don't know who their congressperson is, right? They don't know their state congress, state assemblyman. They don't know their U.S. congressperson that represents them. They don't even know their senators. I mean, they don't know. They're just going through life, you know, that whole saying, ignorance is bliss, right? And so those three types of people. And that very top person, that 1% of the people, are really the ones that, you know, fought the revolution, you know, fought for the independence, that changed things, the founding fathers, that small group. The rest of the people just want to be left alone. They wanted to farm their sheep and raise their crops and do their thing and not have to put in the hard work and effort of fighting for change. But if we don't fight for change, if there's not somebody that does that, I hate to say it, but the Democrats seem like they have a lot more of those people, though, don't they? Because they just have tons of these people that are making it happen. Except they're making it happen by taking your rights, right?
I cannot believe how many people. So here's what I hear. Well, the masks really aren't that big of a deal. Oh, well, the masks aren't that big of a deal until it turns into a shot after shot. The fact of the matter is, once they get away with telling you how to raise your children, once they get away with telling you what you can do with your children, it does not end. You know, that's why, by the way, that's exactly why we have schools like Burgard in the city with a 20% graduation rate. Because they continue to do their crap after garbage after crap. And that's why we have Venezuela, by the way, folks. Yep. People go, somebody else will fight
Somebody else will fight it.
Oh, they're not putting a shot in my kid's arm. Okay, well, little Billy's going to miss soccer for the day, so I guess he gets a shot. Like, it's
Until they mandate it to go to school, right? That's the thing. If you don't stop it here, like, what drove me nuts, Mike, is the folks that said, well, this isn't the hill to die on. I remember we fought the mask mandates 2 school years ago. Mm-hmm. And people told us back then, this is not the hill to die on, guys. Well, which is that hill?
Right.
Because New York State is going to mandate at some point vaccinations for kids to go to school. That's likely going to happen, right?
Well, especially if you don't fight the mask. Especially, I believe we're in a spot right now where we can actually win that. Yeah. I think if New York State was going to mandate it, they would have done what California did, which is done it 3 months ago, three strains ago when you know, there was still this perception that it might kill a child, right? Now we know it's a 0.00% chance, right? So it makes it even more difficult.
But California did mandate it. I mean, California has now mandated it.
Well, that's what I meant. They did that months ago. They did that a year ago. That was done a year ago, right? So easier to do when we still didn't have – I mean, you and I had the information, but now more and more people have the information.
It gets tougher and tougher.
0% chance of killing them, right? But to your point, look, if you don't fight somewhere – where does this end, right?
Like,
when do we, you know, and I would be better off, by the way, and I think I would be more subdued if I heard from these politicians that, look, once we get to this spot with COVID, the masks and all that stuff can go away.
That's a lie.
They don't want to do that. They're never doing that.
You know what I'd like to hear, politicians, Mike, is explain to me why Europe has been maskless this whole time for their kids in school and yet have
better
not
rates.
Had any issues at all. You know, there's not like
better
right?
rates.
Explain. Now you got Fauci talking.
Florida's
by the way, for those that say, you know, talk about the hill to die on, right? Okay, so we didn't die on the hill. We didn't fight on the hill or make our last stand with masks. And so now we're into the vaccines. Well, Glenn, it's just two vaccines. It's just a booster shot. Just one. Once you get vaccinated, just get vaccinated, and then everything will go back to normal. And then they brought the mask back in, right? And so now you're vaccinated and you're wearing masks. And these clowns, and I got some clips here I want to play because I got
another death certificate, by the way, we processed last week from a booster shot.
Yes.
So for those of you that say, oh, how do you know that? I don't know. Let's see. Our client got a booster shot and within a few hours was sick. within a day, they were talking about going to the hospital. Within 2 days, they were in the hospital. Yep. And within 2 weeks, they were dead.
Yep.
Mm.
Yeah,
just seems to be awful coincidental.
Right.
And it's happened, I don't know, 9 or 10 times in our office with all these clients.
Yeah. So you know, as we said before, okay, now you get two vax. What at some point they're gonna basically say, oh, now if you've got two vaccinations, if you don't have the booster, you're not considered fully vaccinated. If you don't have the fourth booster, here's Fauci now, literally saying this. I mean, this is what he's admitting this now. He's on ABC this week or NBC this week, or whatever this is. Here, I'll play here.
Let's talk about the vaccines and the boosters. You have talked about how effective, especially the boosters,
ABC.
Are. Risk of severe illness reduced by as much as 94% with Delta, 84% with Omicron. What about the next booster shot? For a substantial part of the population, they're now moving into the fifth month of their booster. So does it lose its effectiveness, and how soon should they get another one if that's your advice?
Well, the answer, Margaret, honestly, is that we don't know, because we don't know the durability of protection.
How do you not know?
From
two
the
years
third
in.
Shot boost of
we
an mRNA
know.
And the second shot boost
you know
of
what else
J&J.
You don't know? You don't know what the side effects are either. That's what you don't know.
No.
You don't know.
No,
if you don't know how long it lasts, what else don't you know, doctor?
That's
but let
right.
me finish this clip,
because
he goes on to say, we might need a fourth, and then a fifth, and then no.
Yeah. We also know that having COVID is the best immunity, which most children
have. And they still won't admit that.
Yeah.
Hey, certainly you are going to see the antibody levels go down. That's natural. But there's an element of the immune response, B-cell memory and T-cell responses.
First time he's admitted that.
Where even though you do see a diminution of antibody levels, it is quite conceivable, and I hope it's true, that the third shot boost will give a much greater durability
of
protection.
Cow.
We're following that very carefully. And when I say protection, Martha, I mean protection against severe disease. You were going to see breakthrough infections
severe
as we've seen now.
Stop that
even
for a second. This is what I'm so sick and tired
about. Breakthrough infections you're going to see.
I get so aggravated. You, my friend, see that picture right there? You are a dirtbag. For those of you that are watching online, that's the dirtbag of the year. That's the dirtbag of the decade.
Yeah.
These kids have a 0% chance of severe infection with this COVID.
Decade is right.
You are a scumbag. They act, and they just blindly act as if children are dying everywhere. And you might need the third shot so your child doesn't die. Tell the truth, you scumbag.
No, they're still lying about the effectiveness. We know it's 95% effective. It's been breakthrough. 95% effective in breakthrough would imply that one out of 20 people are it's 50-50. It's half and half.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
One out of 100. By the way, we will be joined by Todd Aldinger. He's trying to sneak in here.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, we can let him in. Sure. Todd is
a
constitutional attorney who's been actually one of the very few attorneys actually fighting for our freedom and a big part of the mask lawsuits. How are you, Todd?
Hey, Todd.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be here.
Appreciate you spending some time. Were you up all night? My phone was blowing up. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Night, I'm probably going to just go back to bed for a couple hours after I get done with you guys. But
Amy goes, what are you doing 3 o'clock in the morning? I'm like, I can't stop. This is the New York State Supreme Court struck down Governor Hochul's mask mandate. A big part of that was the legal argument that you actually laid out there in the beginning. Now, I'm not speaking on behalf of you. I'm just going to say what I think. The judge that you ended up getting, Judge Ogden, is a liberal left-wing nut job. I'm actually not even sure she read the case. Worked underneath Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz at some point, so we probably know where her political stance lies. And as a judge, she's supposed to look at the law, but I'm not. Again, I don't even think she read the case. This judge did and said it's no more. It's over, right? That's what I would have thought last night. Now, this morning, of course, every school district puts out the exact same canned response
that they got from the state.
They have to listen to Erie County.
Let me ask you this, though. Is there one of the things they're saying in that letter is there's an automatic stay when there's an appeal. So can we start there on the legal side of it? Is that true or is that not true?
The legal side, Yeah, generally when you sue the state and you beat them, you know, most lawyers will say there's an automatic stay. But that's because most times when you sue the state and you beat them, you're compelling the state to do a positive action, right? So when you beat the state in like an action where you have an injury on a road because it was not maintained, or you get hurt in a government facility, and then you sue the state, you know, and then you win, then the government is compelling the state to pay money. And there is an automatic stay in that context. But when you get rid of a mandate, you're not compelling the state to do anything. You're just removing something that the state used to be doing. You're not demanding the state do anything. You're demanding the state not do something. And so this exact issue came to head very, very early in the pandemic. Like June 2020, when Paul Cambria sued on behalf of Sportsman's Lounge, which is, you know, a bar and restaurant that wanted to play music, and advertise it was having music being played when people came to go out there and, you know, eat food at the restaurant. And after Paul Cambria got that mandate struck down, saying, you know, that was a clear First Amendment violation. You can't advertise music, and it's about First Amendment as it gets, right?
Pretty crazy, right? And then, I mean, I hear this stuff. You're thinking, where do we live?
The state made the same argument about the automatic stay back then. And the Fourth Department, which is the appellate division out here in Western New York to Rochester, they said it doesn't apply in this instance. And this is an identical instance, right? We are not compelling any state action. We are, you know, removing a state action. And in that context, the automatic stay should not apply. And
so,
you know,
what if
again,
they apply it, though?
It's an automatic stay, but you got to actually appeal it. I haven't seen the appeal yet.
So,
I don't know.
So, Todd, they're trying to – they're obviously making the case that, yes, it does. There's an automatic stay. We don't have to do anything. Nothing changes. We're going to appeal. We're going to tie this up in court.
Yep.
How do you beat that? Because all these schools are going to hide behind that. All these districts, all these businesses, all these liberals like Mark Poloncarz are going to – do you have to sue again to prove that? I mean, how does that work?
Well, you know, the automatic stay goes away if you win on the appeal. So that's one issue. You know, so if they won on the, you know, if the appellate judges, you know, quickly take the appeal up and decide it, that's one way they can get rid of it. But again, taking up an appeal quickly, I mean, that could take weeks or months. You know, what I think is going to, you know, have to be necessary is that the people who brought this are going to have to challenge that the automatic stay exists, rely on that case that, you know, Paul Cambria won up here, and hopefully get an, you know, immediate resolution that, you know, the automatic stay is not into effect. Now, there's always a discretionary stay, right? The appellate division can always decide to impose a discretionary stay. But the automatic stay, you know, it says everyone calls it automatic. It's because it's not really automatic. You actually have to do a couple steps before that. It's not just, hey, we lost and it's automatically stayed. No, there's a process. You're supposed to automatically win if you do that process in the right context. And I haven't seen enough documents to show me that they've actually got followed all the steps in that process, even to get the automatic stay into place if it existed. So, I mean, that's, I think where we're at right now. I think it's, you know, this SED memo that came out last night, well, that was not factually true. And even if it was true, you know, they're saying, well, we anticipate this, that there's going to be an automatic stay. So we are going to act as if it's already happened. Well, why wouldn't you give the kids a day or two without masks before the automatic stay went in place, even if that was the case? I mean, I think every single one of these school districts that is continuing it is just addicted to the mask mandate.
They're addicted to control.
There's too many parents that are brainwashed.
It's the control, Todd. It's all about the control.
Yeah, no doubt.
Here's what's going to happen. If they lose this mandate, this automatic stay, or whatever you want to call it, the punishment will come next. That's what will come next.
Yeah.
They'll do something else, because that's what they do, right? And you heard Kathy Hochul back in December.
Right.
I warned you. It's all about if you don't comply, if they say jump and you don't say how high,
you won't get
your
money.
That's right. There's going to be consequences for you not obeying.
Yeah.
someone like a Mark Poloncarz. He's just that petty, as is Kathy Hochul, sadly.
So the legal side of it, what the court has decided is this was just not done the right way, right?
No, it's the same argument I've been bringing all along, right? It doesn't matter if it's an emergency. You got to follow the constitutional provisions for when you create a law. And that means that the state Senate and the state assembly have to vote on a bill, and that bill has to go up to the governor, and the governor has to sign it, and then it's a law. These have all been doing, been all these regulations from back when Cuomo was doing executive orders to now when we're doing emergency regulations, where it just an unelected body just signs off on it, and it's become the executive branch does it all by themselves, and that's just not how we make laws in this country. We never have. And you know, early in the pandemic, we gave Cuomo this 30-day emergency power. And maybe that was reasonable at the beginning when we didn't know anything. We didn't know how we were going to have to respond. But even then, and those are the early cases that I won on, you know, it was clear he had 30 days. And we passed a law saying during this emergency, we're not going to follow the Constitution for 30 days at a time. And then we're going to go back to normal process. You know, that was stretching the Constitution, maybe a little bit more than a lot of people are comfortable. But, you know, it kind of made a little bit of sense at the beginning. But that was repealed. The emergency ended, and then they just started doing the same thing all over again using this Public Health and Health Planning Council to, in 24 hours notice, an unelected body just approves this these new mandates, gets sent to the health commissioner, they sign off. You know, the Senate doesn't get to chime in, the Assembly doesn't get to chime in, ever making law completely by executive branch fiat, which is not how laws are made in a democracy.
And Kathy never got those powers, right? So she was never they took those powers away from Governor Cuomo in March of 2021.
She just extended them. What did she do? Nothing. Nothing's happened, right?
No, you know, that's the thing. It's like if there's anyone in state government who knew all his powers, you know, it was Andrew Cuomo. I mean, I will say that about him. Like he knew every little inch of the law in New York State and knew how to get power and use power. And if he didn't think he had these powers, if he thought he needed a special emergency declaration from the state legislature to do these things last year, and he needed to do it during a declared state of emergency, and then she comes in, there's no emergency anymore, the emergency powers have been removed, and she discovers these powers that Cuomo never knew existed. I mean, that is why initially you hear that story and it strikes you as outlandish because if anyone knew what powers he had, it was Cuomo. She's not going to discover anything in 1 week.
As we speak, by the way, this is not to confirm yet, but my understanding is that there's some kids being removed by police in the park at this
good
park,
work.
Because so, they didn't wear their masks.
So. Yeah, that's unbelievable to me. So is she just disingenuous or is she ignorant when it comes to – you know, what she's doing, you know, in fact, seizing power in a way and just doing whatever she feels like she wants.
You know, I think that it's, you know, from the best faith perspective, I think she thinks this is such a bad emergency that the Constitution can just kind of be put aside until we get through it. And she's going to do whatever she can, you know, to save just one life. I mean, I think that's the best way you can frame it from her perspective. That's still a kind of a ridiculous argument at this point in the pandemic.
Yeah, especially when we look at actually all the schools across the country that are face diaperless,
and
their
the
numbers
world.
Are better, their communities are better in the world. Yeah. What would you say if I'm a parent and I'm sending my child in, and my child in the Orchard Park School District is getting, you know, escorted out by police right now?
Well, I mean, I think you got to go pick your kids up, and I think your kids are learning an important lesson in tyranny today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazingly
probably one of the most important lessons they'll ever learn.
Do you think there is a lawsuit for these parents?
I haven't gotten that far, but, you know, there might be.
Okay.
You know what I would love to see? I would love to see a lawsuit to fight to get our property tax money back. So that we can begin to use that money to educate our kids in the way that we see fit, because they're clearly not used. There's got to be something that ties, like, you have to use these dollars for education. And I don't think you can make the case with all these closures and schools not being in session that, you know, why did we continue to pay, you know, when we weren't getting, you know, when these kids were not actually in, you know, especially for last year, these kids had, you know, two classes a day, you know, 2 hours of instruction.
I sued that case and got those two schools opened up last year.
But what about all that money, though? I mean, millions and millions and millions of tax dollars that go to these teachers, the unions. Obviously, they have fixed overhead that they have to continue to pay for. Buildings have to stay maintained and things like that. But
yeah, I don't think this is a legal problem as much as a political problem. And, remind you of the old adage, elections have consequences. And that's true whether it's for the president or for your local school board. And, you know, There's not many school boards in this state that are willing to stand up. There are some in Long Island, but there aren't many up here in Western New York.
Oh no, I'm amazed at how weak these school boards are. Just amazed.
People don't pay attention, and they don't show up to vote. And,
that's right.
You know, you're stuck with the school board that gets elected. The people that want to run, and usually the people that want to run are beholden to the teachers' union and not beholden to the children.
That's right.
Yeah, we're seeing that now. That's sad. Let me ask you this. So Mark Poloncar's spokesman said that this ruling does not affect Erie County's mask mandate. So how does Mark take a New York State Supreme Court decision and say Erie County's exempt from it?
Well, you know, Mark has he's operated under this illusion that we're still in a state of county emergency, that he has to, and he gets to do county emergency orders. And he's been doing that for about 22 months at this point. Almost 23 months. The statute he's working under allows his orders to be in place for 5 days at a time. It's not designed to deal with this type of issue. It is not designed for a long-term crisis. It's for a true emergency.
Right.
It's like a water main break.
Right. The streets are flooding. The Casanova Creek backed up again. Flooding. You know, we got to shut down traffic.
October surprise. Right. Things like that.
Right.
Like that. That's what this is meant for. It's not meant for
2 years. 2 years of tyranny.
2 years.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's been really difficult to try and challenge Mark, his executive powers here, because there's always been that state layer on top. And it's hard to get the judge to dig down past that initial layer of the state down to the county, because they're always deciding it's the state, because it doesn't make sense to decide, that lower level until you get rid of the state level.
But the state.
So if this ruling does get rid of the state level restrictions and an automatic state isn't put into place, then I'm sure my phone will be ringing and we'll be ready to go after Mark and remove his powers and, basically confirm that he hasn't had those powers in over a year now.
As always, Mike and Glenn are here. You let us know how we can help, and we're ready to fire that game up for sure.
Absolutely.
Glenn, I didn't mean to cut you off.
I was just going
to
ask, at the state level, it's pretty clear that the emergency powers don't apply at this point, right? We just discussed that, right? They were rescinded by the legislature. They were never re-granted to Kathy. I'm not sure if there's been a state lawsuit on that yet. But, since really there is no emergency powers at the state level, can he still hide under the state umbrella, based on that?
Well, he's got special county emergency, so that's what I was mentioning.
Yeah.
Like there doesn't have to be a statewide emergency from declare a county emergency. Right. There doesn't have to be a statewide emergency in the October storm. Right, the October surprise. There doesn't have to be a statewide emergency if a water main breaks. But again, this statute is supposed to deal with disasters. It's called a disaster emergency. Mm-hmm. It's not an emergency. It's a disaster emergency. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of leaving out that word, disaster, because this isn't what anyone could characterizes as a disaster. A disaster is an event, right? Mm-hmm. This is a viral crisis that's going on for 2 years, right? I mean, that's the.
It's going to go on forever
for him.
It is. This is a flu now. We got an annual flu.
You can't call it a disaster.
But we have an annual flu now. That's pretty clear. I think most of the virologists and most of the doctors that are legitimate are basically saying, look, we let the genie out of the bottle. We got the cats out of the bag. And now we've gone from pandemic to endemic, whatever that's supposed to mean. I guess annual now, right? Like a flower, right? It was the annuals and perennials, right? So whatever. So now we have this annual virus that we're going to get on a regular basis.
It's actually the opposite, though.
Well, whatever.
Perennials come up.
Yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? Look, I'm not a farmer. We're not a florist.
Me neither. I don't know why.
I was never good at that, yeah. But anyway, but you know what I mean, right? So now we're going to have something that's probably going to be with us for each and every year. They're going to have,
It's been with
us. Going to be the flu. Like, here's the 35, flavors of flu. We're going to pick three. You're going to get vaccinated. Are they going to try to claim us forever? I mean, what do we do I mean, look, it's pretty clear that in places like New York, they don't ever plan on having this ending.
I don't see it.
Until people look at, I'm in a district, guys, that is 4-1 Republican to Democrat, and I can't get these parents to fight.
It's crazy.
It's amazing. It's amazing. I'm thinking to myself, holy cow, the districts that are 50-50 just got to be it's over. It's over.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are, you know, just willing to take orders from the state and not fight for their rights, and that's why we're in this situation. I mean, that's as simple as I can put it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep. Before we let you go, is there any can you give us an update on the lawsuit trying to return taxpayer money on Dr. Overtime, Gail Burstein?
Yeah, that's it's still up for service. I think they're having trouble tracking one or two of them down at their home.
No way.
Yeah,
no
but,
way.
But no way. You know, it's also, I think, the the weather and the fact that the service.
Well, she's working a lot.
The service company.
Todd, she's working a lot.
Employees be sick and they're having a tough time getting it. So I'm going to check in with them again today.
Well, she's probably at the Broadway Market. Probably handed out condoms at the Broadway Market. That's
Narcon,
yeah.
Narcon and condoms.
Well, that'd be an easy place to find her and serve her.
Yeah.
Easter again.
All right. So we're still trying to hunt her down, but we will hunt her down. That's the message to the folks who are just disgusted.
I'm sure it'll be completed by the end of this week, and then we'll see if they try to make a motion to dismiss. You know, this is going to get resolved quick. This is going to be. You know, a normal lawsuit. It's going to take a year or two to do. I'm going to have to do full discovery, which is going to be fun because I'm going to get all of her timesheets. We're going to see if she actually tracked her time. She recorded it correctly.
Jesus now. Well, that's where she's hiding.
But she definitely is now. So we will we'll be able to compare that. And, you know, I'm not really worried about them, editing it because, you know, there is such a thing as metadata. So, you know, if they have these things and they didn't do it properly the first time in their system, there'll be a timestamp on that. So they can't go back. If they go back and edit it, well, they're making real problems for themselves then.
Well, that's when the tapes disappear. That's like the Epstein video.
Yeah.
It says, we had a malfunction. I don't know.
That's when the server gets smashed.
That happens. Right. You mean like wipe it clean with a cloth? Like, how does that? Yeah, I don't put anything past these people.
All right, buddy, we'll keep up the good fight. If there's any update on the mask mandate, we can do some breaking news for our listeners.
All right,
we really appreciate it, buddy.
All right, thanks, Todd.
Keep up the fight. Thank you. God bless.
Yeah, this is an annual thing now, folks. This is what we got. We got an annual coronavirus. We are very fortunate that it's mutated down to something that's not killing people left and right. It's still dangerous.
If you're old and
you've got, you know, health conditions, and, you know, look, if you've got, you know, four types of cancer, this could be the nail in the coffin, right? It definitely will push you over the edge.
Fortunately for us, though, this virus that they concocted, a gain of function China Wuhan lab, was not deadly to young people.
Thank God. It could have been.
This could have been way worse. They knew that going in. They thought, oh boy. So fortunately, it was, it was, I don't want to say safe, but young people didn't get sick from it. Young people certainly didn't die from it. We have no recorded cases of that. They're acting like it, though.
It is amazing. Oh, yeah.
Amazing. They're pulling out kids with the police officers now. And for all of you police officers, shame on you if you showed up and did that. Shame on you if you showed up and pulled a kid out of a classroom because he didn't have a face cover on.
There was a great Twitter picture that I was a kid holding a sign. It was a perfect sign, and I got to find it because it was really – I should really pin it to our top of our Twitter feed. But it was perfect because it basically said something on the lines of, you know, never before – you know, oh, here it is. It's not my job to keep adults safe. Here she is right here. And you know what?
This little
girl is absolutely right? And I'm trying
to get
this.
Adults, keep yourself safe.
But you know what I mean? Like, it's not – look, you're harming kids, and we know this now. We have studies. This is what drives me nuts. You're educators. You're supposed to care about the kids, right? You're supposed to put the kids first. That's why many of you are there, right? Stop listening to the politicians. When we talked about Obamacare, and everyone debated that, and the people on the right, like Mike and I and everybody else in this country that believe the worst thing we could do is put politicians and bureaucrats and administrators between doctors and people. We did that, right? And now we've got these same administrators and these same bureaucrats twisting the truth and telling all kinds of lies. And you as teachers, if you're listening, are believing it. And I know that a lot of people are concerned about their jobs. I know nobody wants to lose their job by speaking out against an administrator who's forcing these types of things. But you're supposed to care about the kids, right? There's all kinds of data. Go do some research. You're a teacher, right? Go do some research. Look at the UK study that just came out that showed the developmental damage we've done to kids. Go look at at the Netherlands study or the Norway study, whatever it was that showed the masks were ineffective. Come on.
The statistics that we've been talking about for years, drug overdoses up, right? Fentanyl's up 4,000%.
Look at depression. Look at young girls, one out of four between the ages of 18 and 25 have contemplated suicide. Yep. What are you doing?
Up the most.
Come on.
Up the most amongst young black women.
Right.
Young black
girls.
You're
supposed to care about kids. You liberals are supposed to care about African-American communities and the health and well-being thereof, right?
They care about
control. About anything.
If they cared about they cared about any of this, this
money
is very
and power,
simple.
Is it?
You take a step back. Yeah. Wait a minute. What's going on with the children? The very children I profess to help. Well, none of them are dying of COVID. None of them? No, none of them are dying of COVID. Wait a minute. Are suicides up? Oh, yeah, they're up. What about drug overdoses? Yeah.
Record.
Oh, yeah, they're
all-time
up.
Record.
Well, if we really care about these kids, we should change their focus. But they don't.
That's terrible.
They don't. Either they're incompetent
especially. You're teachers. You're supposed to care about the kids. I know you say I care about the kids. I want to keep them safe. No, you don't. Keeping them safe is all about – it's a lot of different things. That's like saying, you know what? Man, I want to keep my kids safe from these thumbtacks outside of this glass cage. So I'm going to put them inside this glass cage. But in the glass cage, there's rattlesnakes. No, seriously, there's the stupidest thing you could do, right?
Razor blades.
You have to look at the totality of the risks and everything that goes involved. You can't look at COVID in a vacuum. I'm so sick of this.
Right.
It's just so frustrating. Nah. And let me finish with Fauci, by the way, because here he is.
Freaking disgusting.
He's going to tell you need
freaking
a four
disgusting.
Shot.
Disgusting.
Yeah, it was crazy. But here's Fauci saying you need a four shot. Why is this not going live? Here we go.
Boosted people, but for the very most part, they're mild or even asymptomatic. Yeah. That's where we would like to be, is to have
where the kids are.
Have to get more and more
that's
always
where kids
every 6 months with a booster.
Yeah. Yeah.
We may need to boost again.
Jackass.
That's entirely
that's where the
possible.
Kids are.
We may need to boost again. That's entirely possible.
Yeah. Without any of your test shots, that's where kids are. Very mild. Most of them don't know they have it. A few of them got the sniffles. I don't know about you, Glenn. When I was a kid, I went to school with sniffles all the time. Kids don't need the shot. Not dying of the shot. They're not dying of it. I will say, though, that this is amazing to me. You liberals. The CDC has come out and said it actually changes the shots change the menstrual cycle in women.
They've admitted that now.
That's not right.
No.
That's not normal. That's not normal.
That's not normal. There's been 2,500 kids that have been documented across the country that have been that either injured or died because of, like, myocarditis and things like that. If you had 25 kids 10 years ago, in normal circumstances, die from a vaccine, it would have been pulled off the shelves immediately. Immediately. You have thousands of people being injured. You have hundreds of athletes dropping dead.
Athletes dying all
on
over.
The field.
All over.
And nobody wants to question this stuff? I'm not saying I know that it's the – I don't know what's going on, but nobody's curious? You're not going to question this? We played that clip from that doctor last week on the podcast, on the radio show. I don't remember which, but it was you're not curious? You don't want to know? Like, doesn't it raise a question? Right. Like, wait a minute now. Shouldn't we be asking that? We had 2,500 deaths from myocarditis in young people, huh? That seems like – what's changed? Ask the questions. Right. Media, useless. I'm going to play this doctor real quick. I know you got to go, Mike. Let me play a few more clips real quick. And if you have to go, I can play these
I got a few more numbers. Internet's starting to slow up again.
Yeah, I see that.
No matter how much money we spend, it's unreal.
It's unbelievable. All right, this is a doctor. Ask yourself this question. Curious. Now, on their own website, the CDC, they list ivermectin as a treatment. Why did they?
Yeah.
Why? Again, bureaucrats. Bureaucrats, unelected bureaucrats and administrators and politicians got involved between doctors and patients. The results were disastrous and are still disastrous to this day. People having to sue to get treatment. Let me play this doctor. This is from OAN, One American News. I love
my hands
clips,
were tied. As a clinician, for the first time in my entire career, I could not be a doctor. I could not treat patients the way I had to be to treat patients. I had 7 COVID patients, including a 31-year-old woman. I was not allowed to treat these people. I had to stand by idly. I had to stand by idly watching these people die.
All because
I then tried
the liberal
to sue
Democrats.
The system. And you know what they did? They did something called peer sham review. It is a disgusting and evil concept They then accused me of 7 most outrageous crimes that I had committed, and that I was such a severe threat to the safety of patients, they immediately suspended my hospital privileges because I posed such an outright threat to these patients.
Because he questioned the system. Nuts. And wanted to treat these patients, they took his medical license and destroyed his career. Now, this guy, he's not a young spring chicken. He didn't just graduate from medical school. This guy's got some experience, right?
And he's talking about things that other frontline COVID doctors have had a ton of success with, right? He's not saying, look it, I want to do some voodoo smoke thing.
But they went after him.
He's talking about using ivermectin, something that we've had a ton of success with.
They went after him. He lost. He got restricted from the hospital. Something. He got kicked out of the hospital. And at the end of the story,
anybody waking up
yet? I won't play the last 40
clips.
Anybody
waking up yet?
But he lost his license. He lost his ability to practice medicine after 50 years or something like that, 40 years in the field.
Sick.
Because he dared to disagree with the narrative, which is let them die. The worst thing people did, sadly, was go to the hospital, where they didn't give them treatment.
Yep.
They put on ventilators.
Yep.
They sedated them. They put them on ventilators.
That's what happens.
And then they didn't let you go in to see
and
how they were doing.
Make your own choices.
They took away – not only did they get between the doctor and the patient.
They took your right
away between,
to do what you want
they
to do.
Took the family completely out of the mix. You can't even go in to see the condition of your
nope.
– oh, maybe we'll FaceTime with you. Right?
How about this?
These people
Many
should be
of these
in
folks,
public.
By the way, family not involved, were supposed to be on other medicines.
Right.
That was a story we heard last week, where when the family actually finally broke into
the
hospital.
Right.
As this, within 2 days, they said, well, the problem is not COVID, you idiots. It's the fact that my husband is supposed to be on Within hours, started to come back. Within days, out of the hospital, 100%
recovered. These people, these bureaucrats, these administrators, people like Dr. Fauci, I'm saying, I want to bring back the Nuremberg trials. I think we have public hangings. I'm not even kidding you, folks. I know it seems extreme, and I get that. Oh, my God, I can't believe you're saying this.
We can't even get parents to send in
their kids
without a face
diaper. The fact of the matter is that these people knew how to treat people, and they didn't do it. And they're still doing it, guys.
Yep.
They're still. Look, here's Connecticut, right here. Connecticut. Right here.
Yeah.
I still have this on the desk right here.
How about monoclonal antibodies?
Right. Connecticut.
Florida actually 100% did it right. Here's the tents.
And they took it
away.
Here's
the treatment.
And the federal government took it away.
If you're starting to feel crummy.
They took it away.
Sorry,
they took
it
away. This is Connecticut asked nursing homes to accept COVID-positive admissions from hospitals. Why would they do that?
Back at it again.
Why would they do that?
That's because the hospitals have nobody to help.
Do they not know, though?
They've laid off
do they not know what the results of that's going to be?
They've laid off all these people. Of course they
do. Do they not care?
Can't be that stupid.
Right?
Can't be that dumb.
I don't know. I'm saying there are people that are doing things like Dr. Fauci that knowingly Dr. Fauci took this research to this gain of function research to our DARPA and they said no way. It's way too dangerous. Even Obama
did it anyways.
Wasn't this arrogant.
Even Obama,
Obama's
back.
Arrogant of arrogant, said, oh no.
He's too dangerous. Too dangerous.
What did Dr. Fauci do? He found a way around it. He found a way to go
through
NIH.
That's what the swamp does, by the way.
Exactly.
That's where the real swamp is. Fauci has figured out every little leak as to where the cash is. He doesn't need Obama. He doesn't need, doesn't matter. Trump, forget all those guys, right? I know where all the cash is.
Yep.
Oh, this was created out of the Wuhan lab?
No.
Out of a bat. Oh, down the street from the lab where they were actually testing all this stuff? Well, yeah, but it
wasn't
from
the lab.
Speaking
of which, there's a new book out. All these new books coming out, folks. You got to build yourself a library because they're taking this stuff offline. You can't find it in Google, all this stuff. There's a new book out, and I'll find the name of it here in a second. Let me find it real quick. But basically, the book is going back. They did a lot of freedom of information requests and uncovered all these emails going back and forth where Dr. Fauci and all these other doctors that are talking via email back and forth about how this is probably from the Wuhan lab and how they found a certain strain that they didn't find in nature and blah, 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 blah. And then overnight, seemingly, they all came out the next day and said, oh, no, this couldn't possibly be from the lab. Like, what changed? What happened? You know, who threatened them? Like, why? So they know that, all this talk about, no, it came from a wet market. No, it never. There's no even consideration that it came from the lab. No. When the day before they were talking about the fact this probably came from the lab. Like, why would they lie to you?
Yeah.
They knew exactly.
Come back. You'd have to be a real mental
I'll find the book. So you at least plug the book.
Let's just switch gears a little bit before we end up with inflation. State Minority Assembly proposes inflation relief and consumer assistance plan. So these morons hand out all kinds of extra money to people, which causes inflation. The biggest problems with our with inflation right now is wage inflation, right? Paying people to stay at home. And you'd think at some point they'd get it.
Nah.
The State Minority Assembly proposes more free government handouts to battle the problem from the free government handouts. It just it doesn't end.
It's the best they got, folks.
It doesn't end.
This is the best they got.
So I got an idea. Why don't we ask these people to go get a job for $20 an hour, handing out a hot coffee out of a window? That's because that's what they're getting now. You just can't make it up, folks. The state's a mess. And by the way, I get it now. I understand why we're in the place we're in. I mean, I get it for years. But when you look at districts, folks, we're not going to win New York City. Those people are left-wing radical nut jobs. We're not going to win North Buffalo. Those people are radical left-wing nut jobs. But we should be winning the suburbs, right? And we're not. It's because parents don't get involved. They just turn their head. They go in and do their thing, drop little Billy off, and then they'll go, I don't know why my child's been indoctrinated. I have no idea why they think 75% tax brackets are great.
Yeah, right.
Even
Janet Yellen, she's now. I had respect for Janet Yellen. I liked her as a Fed chief. Now that I hear her on this administration, she's just a liar. And what she said this week was an absolute joke. I'll play that clip too. I know you got to go, but let me. This article, by the way, or this book, I found it here. Let me find the name of the book here. The book name is, come on, Everything But the Name Except Cookies. Da, da, da. Oh, for God's sakes. Jeez, old piece. Here it is. It's called Viral. It's by Alina Chan and Matt Ridley, called Viral, The Search for the Origin of COVID. And the excerpt that somebody sent to me, Carl sent this to me, was good. It was really, they ask a lot of good questions. Like, they uncovered.
You don't even need to really think this one through.
But the thing is, the smoking gun is the fact they were talking about it. Tested. But the fact that they came out the next day and all
these
of them in
jail
completely changed the narrative to, oh, no, there's no question this was found in nature.
How are these people not in jail? How are folks everywhere in the U.S. not outraged?
Right.
That Fauci and his friends in China, right? Remember Fauci telling Rand Paul, look at, do you trust the Chinese? Well, I trust the Chinese scientists, maybe not the government. Are you that stupid? Are you really that dumb?
No, they're not really that dumb.
You don't think the Chinese scientists are run by the Chinese government?
Right.
Are you that stupid?
Speaking of which.
Are the American people are that stupid?
By the way,
yes, they bought it.
By the way, there's a big tennis match going on in Australia this week, where they kicked the guy out and whatnot. Well, a bunch of people were.
Wait a minute. First time in history, the athlete got kicked out for not taking the drugs.
Yeah, amazing.
Oh, okay.
So a bunch of the people that went to the stands that went to the game wore shirts that said, where's whatever her name is, the athlete in the Chinese gymnast that they disappeared. Right. They do this. Right. Jack Ma. Anybody heard of Jack Ma? No. Jack Ma.
Yeah.
The richest.
Oh, did you hear from him? No, not lately.
No. The richest person in China, Jack Ma, the billionaire, one of the richest people in the world. Disappeared because he dared to go against the Communist Party. Now, a bunch of the...
Glenn, it's been, a year? A year and a half?
He's been gone 2 years now. He made one statement that was like a hostage statement. Maybe it's been over, but a year and a half.
Yeah.
He made one statement like a hostage. I'm going to retire and focus on my painting. Please don't kill me. Honest to God, though, Janet Yellen's interview looks eerily similar to the Jack Ma thing. So anyway, they wore a bunch of T-shirts that said, where's whatever her name was, Elena or whatever. They removed them. The Australian police removed them. Removed them. Why? Because Australia now is run by the CCP. That's why. Because they're run by the Chinese Communist Party.
Yeah. Australians, they're about 2 years ahead of where we are.
They're gone.
About 3 years ahead of where we are. Yeah.
Let me play this real quick. And then this, honest to God.
That's where it's going here, by the way, folks.
Tell me this doesn't look like a hostage crisis. She knows better.
It's a mix. We're going between a mix between Venezuela and Australia.
Yeah.
It's already there. California's already there. You know, when you go to some of these third world countries, you get off on the plane and you take the ride into the resort and you see like all this filth
outside.
We call that California
LA.
Now, where they rob train boxes and throw it on the ground and just garbage everywhere. By the way, I was in Kansas City, another Democrat run city.
I was there
for a football game because the communists won't allow me in Highmark Stadium anymore. So I took my girls to see the Kansas City Bills playoff game. Garbage everywhere.
Yeah.
Disgusting. You know, beautiful place. Well,
think about I San mean, Diego.
You know, just prairies after prairies after prairies. You go into these cities, they're disgusting. The environmentally friendly Democrats. No, you know what's environmentally friendly? Get out of your damn car with a bag and clean up some of the garbage. Sad. It's gross.
Even in San Diego, we were in on Mission Beach, you know, very nice part of San Diego, right on the ocean.
Yeah, garbage everywhere.
Five-star resort right on the water, right on Mission Bay. And you walk right off the resort property, you know, just like in Mexico. And there's homeless people and drug addicts living on the streets everywhere.
Yep.
Everywhere.
Help wanted signs everywhere.
Crazy.
Help wanted signs everywhere.
Like, this is Janet. Let me switch gears real quick. This is Janet Yellen. This is, honest to God, tell me this doesn't look like a hostage video. Now, she knows better than this. She's not dumb. So somebody is holding a gun to the other side of the camera.
I will do.
Yeah, it's crazy. Here she is.
Comparing our new approach against his traditional supply-side economics, which also seeks to expand the economy's potential output, but through aggressive deregulation paired with tax cuts designed to promote private capital investment.
It's always worked in the past.
It is unquestionably important to properly implement regulation and maintain a pro-growth tax code, but they are not sufficient and can often be overdone.
So what's your plan?
Modern supply-side economics.
Wait, hold that. Stop.
You notice what she added there?
It can often be overdone. What, like too many jobs, too much growth, too much wealth? Because that's what America was built
on. Did you notice
on.
What she did there, though? She just changed it. It's been modern monetary theory, right? Modern monetary theory, which is what these clowns are ascribing to, is basically saying – you know, you can print as much money as possible with no consequences. But what did she just call it? She just called it modern supply economic theory.
Because,
you know, they know the supply side economics works. Supply side economics is not just about deregulation and lower taxes.
No.
It's about incentivizing suppliers to produce, to produce. It could be as simple as, allowing federal permits for gas drilling on federal land, right? That would be a pro-growth thing. That's not necessarily, you know, aggressive deregulation. No. It's giving suppliers or producers in the oil industry in that situation the incentive to produce. What did they do? They raised – either they restricted, they took away the permits altogether, or they raised the prices. Is raising prices on permits to produce incentivizing producers? Or is lowering prices on permits incentivizing producers? There's a lot of ways to incentivize producers.
Depends on where you're getting your money
clowns,
from. Now,
all
right?
of them.
So if you're getting your money from the government, like many of her friends do, what's the problem with increasing the permit? Because the taxpayers are just paying for it anyways. Ask Warren Buffett who's going to pay for that permit for him. Right? Now, you and I, the little guys, we're going to pay for our own permit. And it's going to be higher a much higher barrier of entry to get in. Warren Buffett, you're going to pay for that. Oh, town of Amherst, you'll pay for that.
But these folks are so good at the wording of things. The Democrats are so good at packaging things, right? Here's one from Kathy Hochul. This is on illegal guns, right? I don't know where it is in here, but it's not a long clip, so let me just pop it live.
Yeah.
Right?
The new mayor of New York City is doing a bang-up job already the guns are the problem. We've lost a few police officers. Well, it's illegal guns. Oh, it's not the fact that you let some scumbag out of jail eight times.
She never mentions that.
And now on the ninth time he kills
somebody. She never mentions that. This whole clip, she never mentions the criminal. Listen, this is crazy.
How could they be this incompetent? How?
They know.
Call to action. We have to do more to fight the scourge of illegal guns on our streets.
Oh.
And we need Washington teaming up with us, teaming up locals to get it done.
Never stops.
Despite our tough laws here in the state of New York, we're proud of them.
We're proud of them.
They're coming in from other states. They're flooding our streets.
Oh, probably Florida.
I have pledged the resources of the New York State Police to become embedded
The police
NYPD
that you tried to fund,
to help
those
them.
Ones?
In fact, we've tripled funding for this gun interdiction effort because they're coming in from Virginia and Maryland and coming in from Pennsylvania.
They're coming in from Virginia now because they have a Democrat governor finally. See, they weren't coming in from Virginia when it was the Republican governor, when it wasn't governor, he was a Youngkin, right? The Republican.
No.
When it was a Democrat governor.
Now that they flipped, they're all coming from.
Let me finish this clip. This is good.
Unreal.
We have
to do whatever
we can to protect our neighborhoods.
So, but I'll go back to the beginning. It's not once that you talk about the criminals. It's all about the illegal guns. Let me play the beginning again because we missed
amazing,
the beginning.
Amazing, by the way. I mean, you could just script it out, right? Police officer shot. Oh, my. How many times was this person let out of jail before this happened? Let's put a bet together. Six, seven,
what's the over-under?
Times?
A dozen?
Oh, must be the gun.
Must be the gun. Yeah, here's, again, it's the illegal gun. Listen carefully to this. This is important.
Our hearts and prayers are with the families and the members of the NYPD, but also it's a resounding call to action. We have to do more to fight the scourge of illegal guns on our street.
So let me just make sure I understand this. The guy who set up an ambush had nothing to do with it. It was all because he had an illegal gun. It's as if the illegal gun found this guy and said, hey, buddy, here's what we're going to do. Call the police and set up an ambush. I got your back on this.
The gun walked itself over.
Yeah, it's got little legs. Right? Hey, it's like the Bill. Remember that cartoon? Yeah. I'm not a Bill. Yeah, they animate the Bill. He's got hands and a face. That's the gun now. I'm here to... These people are all clowns. Yeah. Every one of them. She knows she's a liar. Every one of them the same. Anyway, all right, we'll wrap it up, Mike.
How could they be that with it? They live in this state. Disgusting. You're responsible for the death of some of these police officers. You're responsible.
Crazy.
This person could have been locked up in jail eight times ago. We let him out.
Over and over again.
No
they
bail.
Know it. Gross. But it's the illegal gun.
Right,
now let's wrap
up
it up.
Show. I got to sneak out
of
here.
I've got more clips to play. We'll save it for Saturday. I've got the View and... the COVID doc, more on Yellen. I got all kinds of stuff, more on this clip as well. So we'll save that for Saturday's show. I know Mike's got to, we're trying to jump into a meeting here, but we'll be live Saturday again, 1 to 3 on the Financial Guys Radio Network. We air live on Wham in Rochester, 1180 AM. We WBEN in Buffalo, AM 930. And of course, out in Rochester, WSYR, which I believe is 570, AM 570 out in Syracuse. I say Rochester, Syracuse. So Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, tune in. iHeartRadio as well. If you're outside of the area, I know we have a lot of listeners that tune into the show, just like the podcast down in Florida, over in Texas, Arizona. You can listen to us live on iHeartRadio just by simply going and finding, let me turn this video off actually, going and finding the Wham app. If you find the Wham station, the Wham 1180 on iHeartRadio is where you will find us. We can't get rid of the other side of the screen, can we? So it's just me and I can finish out the show with videos and whatnot. Or am I stuck with now a blank? Probably stuck with a blank. I guess I'll wrap it up. Maybe I'll come back later and do the rest of the videos in a different podcast later this week, maybe Thursday or something. But anyway, if you need us throughout the week, folks, again, we do manage money for a living. You can reach us at the office. If you think like us, call us at the office, 833-FIN-GUYS, 833-FIN-GUYS. Of course, go to our website, thefinancialguys.com, where you'll find all of our social media links, as well as all of our different departments. So whether it be home and auto, where, you know, give us 14 minutes, we'll shop over 25 companies to save you money. So easy, even a liberal do it, to income planning, wealth management, obviously a super choppy market. If you're concerned, certainly feel free to give us a call at the office, 833-FIN-GUYS, or again, go to our website, thefinancialguys.com. We are active all over the place, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and now on the new social media platforms as well, on Parler and what's the new one I just set up recently? Let me check there. Getter. Getter's the other new one. And I realize that, you know, everyone's got to go over there, and we always talk about that. We got to be there. And I know it's on us too. We got to post more there as well. It's hard not to go back to the usual Twitter and remember to post things across platforms. So we're working on software to make that happen seamlessly. So we're posting all of our content on all the platforms, including Getter and all the new ones as well. So if you want to follow us there, again, go to our website, thefinancialguys.com. You'll find all of our social media links. And you can also email us through that website as well. So on behalf of Mike Lomas, I'm Glenn Wiggle. We are the Financial Guys. We'll see you on Saturday, 1 o'clock on the Financial Guys Radio Network.